Have you been experiencing fear lately? Has all of your stuff been coming up? Maybe all of your niggly doubts, or what I sometimes call the mean aunt voices in your mind. Or maybe there are no words, but you just feel this undercurrent in your bod of, oh my God, is this going to work out? Or what if it doesn't? Well then, this episode is for you. Heads up, your fear may not mean what you think it means. Listen in for understanding and cheerleading if you are going through it.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimée Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing. That internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition. Hello, friend. Welcome. I'd like to start out with a shout out to Daisy D. Dots, who took the time to write a review on Apple Podcasts for the Own Your Intuition show. She said, "Wow, I'm not sure how I found this author. I just know I was supposed to, and I'm so glad I did. When it seems you have no one you can talk to about this, this wonderful author takes you on your own personal journey as if she was standing right beside you. Thank you." Aw, thank you, Daisy D. Dots. I am standing right beside you. Well, I'm not, but I am in your ear and sending you love and blessings on your journey. Thank you for taking your precious time to review and star my podcast. Okay. Let's talk about fear, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about fear. Let's talk about fear. Do you all remember that song? I'm showing my late 40s age right now. And there's nothing wrong with showing your age. But I'm reappropriating the song to normalize fear, in the same way that the song normalized talking about sex. Today, we're going to talk about fear. It's an important subject. When I was writing my book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life, I had a few test readers, my girlfriends Mary Kay and Dana Renault specifically. And thank goodness for test readers, because they asked such pertinent questions that sometimes they sparked whole chapters that I hadn't conceived were necessary until they asked these questions. One of them was about fear. "What about the fear that arises when you choose something?" Dana asked me. Actually, I can't remember how she worded it exactly. I just remember that it was her. She was asking the very real question of, what if your intuition guides you in a certain way And then you feel afraid of making that choice, or you are worried it's not going to work out, or it seems like a big step, even though you know it's the best choice for you. You all know that worry is another form of fear, right? So, I wrote a whole chapter entitled Fear Transformed, because you know what? You cannot get out of this life as a human being without experiencing fear. So let's normalize it. Let's not make it a dark secret that you have to carry or tuck away. In fact, I have found in my life that very often voicing a fear lets the steam out of it. I remember certain fears I've had where I was like, oh man, that's so deep down in there. I cannot voice that. And then one time it came up in a conversation with my husband, and I told him, and suddenly the fear had no hold over me anymore. It didn't even feel true. It felt like just something my mind made up. When prior to that moment, I had held on to it so tightly, or at least it was so buried in there that it felt like a painful dark shard. Poof, gone with the sound of my voice. So, hey, revealing your fears to a safe person is one good option. In my experience, just hearing yourself say it out loud can entirely shift a fear. Because your mind will do that. You know that, right? It makes things up from time to time, especially the scary things. As far as I can tell, our animal body, which is what I call our human body, does have this innate trigger of WTF when it is headed into a situation in which it either has no control over, will not be able to control, or sometimes it's just a place you haven't been before. So, change, basically. Change can be very hard on our small mammal body. It can freak out. The bigger the change, the more significant the undertaking, the bigger the fear. In my experience, there is a direct correlation between step/change size and fear size. Here's the deal, though. You are bigger than that. Your mammal body doesn't know that. Your ego, which is actually how I've come to think of your animal body. I think what is referred to as the ego, which in yoga philosophy is something you want to flay open, is actually just your soft animal human body doing what it does. Being a soft, vulnerable animal in a vast world. That sometimes can feel scary. Here's the deal, though. Even though that is true, that you are a soft animal who cannot control a great many things in your life, what is also true is that you have an unbreakable connection to Source, whatever your word for it. You are made from Source. There is nothing that is not Source energy, including you. So, even though you can't control the big wide world and a lot of the things in it, you always have a connection to a benevolent source beyond you, even if you are mostly unaware of that connection. There is something there holding you and loving you. Your benevolent guides, Source herself. One of my favorite prayers came from Angela Montano. It goes like this. I let go and so it is. Amen. For me, there is something about recognizing that I am not in control that is a huge relief. When I remember it, I'm like, holy cow, what a load off. I am not in control of the universe. I do not have to even attempt to carry that load. It's a very relieving thought for me. One student of mine recently shared with my Own Your Intuition students that thinking through the worst case scenario is very freeing for her. And I've heard that said before by other people, playing it all out in your mind. In fact, I remember listening to Mark Allen, co-founder of New World Library Publishing House, lay that out as an exercise before. And I've tried it. It's nice. But my workaround is usually simpler for me. I'm like, geez, I am so not in control of this. Why even bother? Or I'm not in control of this anyway. Take a load off, Amy. As I frequently say to my kids, always think the best things or always plan for the best. It's wise to be optimistic. Even if it doesn't turn out exactly as you planned, you won't waste your time being miserable in the process. You'll deal if that is necessary, but you won't have a self-imposed sadness on the way there. So, as I've mentioned before, my family and I are preparing to launch into a travel lifestyle right now. We are renting out our home as a piece of our income strategy. The whole process of getting ready for all of this is nerve-wracking. It's like we're packing for three different things: renting out the house, stuff to get rid of, stuff to store, stuff we're taking, stuff we don't need now but will in 3 months' time before we leave the country. That's more than three. You get it. The way I pack for traveling in a camper is not the way I pack for tooling around Paris, for example. It's like every item in our house is this puzzle piece, and you have to figure out what pile it goes into. Not only that, but everybody still lives at our house. If you are going to rent your house out, you need to be able to take pictures of it. Once I detailed the whole entire living room. We have a room attached to our living room that we call the toy room. It's where my kids have pretty much always kept their toys. It's filled with games and kids' books and, oh, all kinds of things. I detailed this room, got rid of like 50% of our kids' books or more, cleaned out all the shelves. I was with the cleaned living room for about 30 minutes before I went to bed. The next morning, when I woke up, my son had spread his whole entire trucking situation, his toy trucks and villages, all over the whole entire room. When I mentioned it to him, his response was, "Mom, I'm homeschooled. This is my life. You're going to have to deal with it." He did have a point. In any case, I am trying to describe the details that when you are packing up your life in several different ways and you have two smalls also living under the same roof, it isn't a clean sweep. Work gets redoubled all the time. And because of our situation, it's also not like moving out of a house, which is also stressful. But at least in that case, there's an everything must go mentality. Must go to the same place. So, this is happening at our house. My husband was finishing up every last project that hadn't been completed to perfection. I'm sorting through the kids' rooms and the living room, prepping my studio for storing belongings. Then all of a sudden, the washing machine was acting weird, and we're like, do we need a new washer? Then the tire on our truck was nearly flat. You know, just like one thing after another, which, you guys, I'm not a huge follower of astrology. To be honest, I often find it distracting personally, Usually, I would much rather figure out what's going on by living it than by knowing about the astrology beforehand. But I am still chalking all of these rando things that are happening lately up to the eclipse season that we have been in, the new moon and the full moon eclipse coming up. Yowza! You guys, I've been feeling it. We're still in it as you listen to this. The next eclipse is on the full moon coming up on October 28th. So you get the picture. It's a lot going on at our house. And I just had a program that just launched, which now has open enrollment. So you can start in anytime, by the way. So this is all just a little tiny snapshot that doesn't even scratch the surface of the amount of lists and items that are being shuffled and done at my house right now. I keep thinking that it feels like trying to fit a whole life, or several, there are four of us, into a tiny hole. On the other side of the hole is this wide open space of freedom. But the shaving down to get through the hole is intense. You get it. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You likely have experienced something like this in your life before. Maybe it's not these exact circumstances, but this period of intensity is likely familiar. Here's the deal. With all of these changes in our family's life, with all that there is to do, and how many unknowns we have coming down the pike, I started to notice this running current of fear in the back of my mind. That's what it felt like. Like a river back there, just running a mumbly story of holy shite, WTH, are we okay? In my case, it didn't have specific words. It wasn't telling me detailed and elaborate stories of failure, though that does happen to some people. It was just like a, are we okay? This is full throttle, folks, kind of feeling, always there. Here is a beautiful thing that I've learned about the nervous system. It does not speak in words or story. That's a beautiful thing, really. That means you don't have to try to talk it out of its stress. You just have to let it complete its cycle. I may be oversimplifying things here, and I'm not a nervous system expert, but I have spent a lot of time learning about it because I think neuroscience is fascinating. And I'm always into tools. I have been my whole adult life that will help me veer toward happy or return to happy when I've strayed. So knowing my nervous system and my kids' nervous systems has been a life and parenting hack for me. When under stress, the nervous system either wants to complete the cycle by getting really still, hypo, or it wants to complete the cycle, the stress cycle, by running it off, movement, shaking, etc., hyper. So the beauty of it all is this. When you are under stress, when your nervous system is feeling fried like mine has been, you give it what it wants to return to stasis. You don't have to try to talk it out of the fear or sing it a different song. Although singing is actually really good for balancing the nervous system, by the way. You just have to let your body complete the cycle. So for me, that has been walking. I'll be like bug-eyed, are we okay? River flowing in the back of my mind. Go for a walk. We're fine. Just by walking down the road for 30 minutes or more, the story, the feeling in my body and being completely changes. I must say that I usually tend to be a hypo type of person, meaning I like to get really still to achieve inner harmony. But right now I'm like, I literally have to move a lot regularly, daily, say. This is Aimée Cartier, and if you just joined us on the radio, you are listening to the Own Your Intuition show and podcast. And today we are talking about fear. Okay, so where am I going with all of this? I want to normalize fear for you. I want you to understand that it is human and normal. And especially if you are making big changes in your life, even if they are divinely inspired or soul guided, you are very likely to experience fear. It's not something you have to feel ashamed of feeling. You don't have to hide it or put a brave face on it of, I'm 100% okay here, when it's not true. Feeling afraid is really no big deal when you understand fear for what it is, a normal mammalian response, not a sign that you are on the wrong course or that you had better veer off in this way right now. As I say in my book, Getting Answers, experiencing fear is not a sign that you are on the wrong track. It is a sign that your heart is still beating and you are still breathing in and out. Get it? That's what fear really means, that you are an alive human being who, chances are high, is about to do something that you haven't done before or make a choice that you recognize has an outcome or situation in which you are not in control. It's okay. I also want you to understand that fear doesn't have a lot to do with your intuition in these cases. As you've heard me say before, if you listen to my show, your intuition does not speak fear ease. It is not going to talk to you in a way that makes you afraid. That is not how it works. So when you are experiencing fear, it's not the voice of your soul. It's the voice of your animal body. I also want to be clear that making choices that are on your soul's path may elicit fear. Sometimes, especially making choices that are on your soul's path, especially if they are different than what you've done before, it may elicit fear. That's just real. It's neither a sign that bad things are going to happen, nor that you are heading in the wrong direction. It's just a sign that you are alive and you are a mammal who cares for its life and safety. That's okay. That's a good thing, actually. So, what did I do when I heard the river song of fear running night and day through the back of my brain for those few weeks? Nothing other than go for a walk or pray. I exercise or I pray. I didn't ask what it meant or see it as a sign. I just ignored it, as I've learned through my own experience to do. Fear isn't good at showing me the course, the path. It just alerts me to the fact that I've never gone there before. I can also tell you that this lift off that I'm doing with my family feels to me like something I've been moving toward and not only craving or longing for, but also destined for my whole life. It's weird to some, scary to others, crazy for a few, but for me, it has a feeling of coming home and bringing us all, my whole family, where we belong. There is so much I don't know about the journey ahead. So many unknowns, including, is anyone going to rent our house? But even when the fear lullaby was playing in the background, there wasn't a single part of me that wondered, are we on the right course? The fear just feels like part of the ride. A tune that plays before the chorus of freedom or elation or satisfaction that comes from making big and rightful moves. There is a lovely book called Playing Big: Practical Wisdom for Women Who Want to Speak Up, Create, and Lead. It's by Tara Moore. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. In a lot of ways, I would say it's a book about following the callings of your soul. You have those callings for a reason. They are there for you. They are guiding you. They are crafting the scaffolding of what is important to you in this lifetime. Even when you don't know WTF you are doing or how to get there, they are important to listen to. They are pointing you somewhere vital. In her book, Tara describes two different fears. She learned this from a book called Be Still and Get Going by Rabbi Alan Liu. He explained that the Hebrew Bible uses two different words for fear. The first word is pashad. Pashad is the fear of projected or imagined things. Pashad is the overreactive, irrational fear that stems from worries about what could happen, about the worst case scenarios that we imagine. She describes in her book, most of us are familiar with pashad. It shows up as the fear that you'll horribly embarrass yourself, that the plane is about to crash, that you'll say something stupid, that this time the truth that you have no talent at your job will be revealed, and so on. It's what we try to help our kids move past or be brave in the face of. The fear they feel before the first day of school or when they are worried about the monsters under the bed. It's the kind of fear we try to conquer in ourselves. It's the fear that often speaks through the voice of the inner critic. Thousands of years before neuroscientists discovered the overreactive nature of our fear instinct, it shows up with its own unique term in the Old Testament. She continues, here's where things get fascinating. Rabbi Liu explains that in the Hebrew Bible, there's a second word for fear, yirah. Yirah has three different meanings. One, it is the feeling that overcomes us when we inhabit a larger space than we are used to. Two, it is the feeling we experience when we suddenly come into possession of considerably more energy than we had before. Three, it is what we may feel in the presence of the divine. So, get it? If you are inhabiting more space than you are used to, if you are in touch with the divine, with the sacred in yourself, and are following an authentic dream, and often you are likely to experience more energy from tapping into this inner guided source or place within yourself as well, you are very likely to experience fear. And even if you're not in a big life change, you're going to experience fear from time to time. The small animal body fear, critic, worries, this terrible thing could happen. The big fear, oh my God, am I going to be okay with this huge change that I know I must do or feel is right? This is what I do. Exercise, or I should say, complete the cycle, complete the stress cycle. Remember, you don't have to talk your nervous system out of its fear. You just have to give it what it wants, a completion of the cycle. Or pray. In this case, I think of praying more like remembering. Remember that even if you are a small, fleshy, vulnerable animal who wants to stay alive, and there is nothing wrong with that, you are also a creature of Source. There is a you that goes beyond your small animal body. It's been through many lifetimes. It knows great things. It's capable of great things. It's transitioned in so many ways before. You can do this transition too. There is a you that is so held, so safe, so adept at transitioning, it's actually taken many animal skins, many human bodies over time. It's also made great changes and transformation during its time. And small you in your animal body and big you in the vastness are cared for, important, and capable, even when you are not in control. Because you're not. We're not in so many ways. Nonetheless, there is a you that is supremely held. And in fact, all the things are working out for its benefit, even when they don't go according to plan. And even when the work required to get and be on the road you know you're destined for threatens to flatten you along the way. Even then, you are held. Even then, you are cradled in the loving existence of the all, of which you are a part. There is nothing else. So, normalize fear. Don't let it steer you off course or make your decisions, but don't feel ashamed or give a big care or give yourself a hearty stab in the leg for feeling it either. And don't believe it's hype. Just move on through, my friend. I promise there is another side. The river loses its force eventually. What does that fridge magnet say? It all works out in the end. If it hasn't worked out, it's not the end. Sending you great love. We got this. This is Aimée Cartier, and you have been listening to the Own Your Intuition show. Thank you for being here. I'm so glad you tuned in. You do know that you can join the Own Your Intuition program, right? It's open enrollment, 13 moons in length, starting on whatever new moon is closest to the time you join. We'll circle together for that duration, and you'll learn all the tools I use to get in touch with and be in touch with my intuition, otherwise known as the voice of your soul. If you feel like you need tools or you want practices that you can use to get your own clarity and tap into your own wisdom, then circle up with us, girlfriend. You can go to aimeecartier.com/ownyourintuition to find out more. See you next week.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.